Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Welcome to Three in the Key.
Yao tries to return the favor. It's a turnover. Joseph to the Jets. It's a two-on-one. Can Scrub finish? Oh, my heavens, Kenny. Thomas Scrub goes right at Nikola Batum. Pass goes to Webster. Now it's Lowe. Lowe's going to try and finish. Oh, my goodness gracious me. Melvin Edgem from behind with a block.
Bringing you in-depth basketball analysis and interviews from the Great White North.
Canada needing to step up right now. Down 59-51. 8.5 to go. Chance to get to Rio. On the line here. Ennis underneath. Tristan Thompson misses the flush.
With your hosts, Elias Elzane, Will Macklin, and Dave the Professor Tripp.
Another disappointment for Canada. 83-74 in Manila.
Hello and welcome inside the key for another edition of Three in the Key. Elias Elzane alongside Will Macklin.
What's up?
And Dave Tripp.
Yes.
Free agency has slowed down a little bit since Kevin Durant announced that he's going to be joining the Golden State Warriors.
Amazing.
We did not see that coming. I don't think anyone did. We thought he'd go back to OKC on that one plus one deal and head into free agency next year with the cap going up once more. But
I heard it's going down a bit now. Isn't it going to go down a little bit?
No, but it's going up, but not as high as they expected.
Like only like $5 million or something.
$5-6 million. But those numbers are still up in the air. It's not confirmed, and we won't know until closer.
So sad. Heartbreaking news.
Yeah,
for the Warriors.
closer to next year's free agency period. They also snagged Zaza Pachulia and David West on a couple cheap deals. The Warriors stacking up. They clearly have their choices of free agents, and a lot of free agents have been probably calling them and willing to take the
vet. I even put my little name in the hat.
Yeah, so. I heard that rumor that Will Macklin.
I'd sit on that bench.
I'm an energy guy.
Yeah, you're an energy guy recovering from the ACL surgery.
Exactly, I'm an energy guy. I'm like a Most Bates. I'll take that.
Most Bates going to the Clippers now. Apparently the Warriors didn't offer him a deal. I thought he would be a candidate to come back.
He was really good in the last couple of years. Fan favorite, I thought.
Yeah, he would hit a three here and there. But now I guess they're looking for specific types of players, probably more defensive players because they got a lot of offense. Lots of offense.
Kind of closes the door on what they need from Most Bates.
And losing Bogut, right?
So. Definitely.
And David West, solid also on both ends of the floor. Won't play a lot of minutes, obviously, but you don't need him. But a good vet off the bench, and he'll give you some good minutes at the 4 and 5. Remember, you can get a hold of us by email at the3inthekey@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3 in the Key. Follow on Twitter at BasketPod. On Instagram at the3inthekey. And you can listen to each episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio, and you can find all of that on our website, 3inthekey.ca. On today's program, we get into the whole KD to Golden State with SB Nation's Andy Liu a little later on.
Golden State of Mind.
Program. That's right. A little later in the program, we dig into that. Also, some Swish or Miss. I don't know if you guys saw this yet. I was talking to you guys off the air earlier, but there's this new app out now. I don't know if it's out on Android yet.
Definitely not.
So Will is taking an L right now there.
Google Play is not happening.
Hoops Rant. That's what it's called. And it tests your NBA knowledge. Trivia.
It's pretty dope.
True and false categories. The draft. You have stuff like there's an association game, so we'll give you a couple of names of NBA players, former and current, and a couple of choices. And you have to guess what they have in common. They also have an alma maters. A category.
Yeah, colleges. That's what my favorite
colleges,
thing to do.
Colleges, yeah, where the guys go and stuff like that.
Are you going to
really cool brag here? No, I'm not a big bragger. I am at the top
of that leaderboard.
I am at the top.
You're winning. You're the best at it.
It's amazing how that comes up, eh?
I am, but I just really like the app in general.
No,
like
it is really good.
All NBA fans, basketball fans out there listening to this, go check it out. I don't think it's out on Android because Will doesn't have it.
No, we've got it. We've got proper iPhones, so we're able to use it on our iPhones.
I'll try to develop some kind of
Steve Jobs.
iOS operating system.
Yeah, so check it out on the App Store on your iPhone. It's called Hoops Rant. And all basketball fans, you
I'm
know.
Try and challenge Elias, who's at the top of the food chain.
I'm pretty sure you guys can all beat me.
What? Really? You're so humble.
But
particularly me and Will.
Yeah.
Dave just
I'm
got
at the
it,
bottom.
So he's trying to. I'll to
probably
challenge
never
me,
get
but
it.
It's a good game. It tests your knowledge. It asks
hey,
you.
I'm currently
ask
ranked
you, like,
126 in the world.
Yeah, the app is just came out a couple of days ago. Something
slow
like
down.
That.
Don't
maybe
take that away from me.
A couple of weeks, maybe. I don't know, but I got it a couple of days ago.
Give us an example
of
a question.
All right, here.
Well,
go ahead. Here, I'll bring it up. Here.
Dave.
True or false?
These are always hard.
Question one. Richard Jefferson was on the 2004 Olympic roster. That got upset, true or false?
That is true.
Let's see.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh, Will Macklin.
That is
if you
true.
Had a proper phone, you'd be in the mix on this.
yeah, I'm just going
right, to. I'm going to exit before I get addicted again.
That's fair, yeah.
It's very good.
Really good game. Attention knowledge. It doesn't ask you like those. It asks you some easy questions depending on how much you know about the game. But it also asks you stuff that you're like, oh, man. I don't know this guy was undrafted, or I don't know this
oh,
guy
oh, yeah, very
there.
Specific things. Like, he was asking, like, if Kobe was interested in playing for the Clippers at one time, or that was an
yeah,
offer.
Yeah, it's questions like that, you know, not the easiest question of, like, oh, who won this year's NBA
you
championship?
You can tell they're trying to stump you, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's not
yeah,
like a stat.
So
it's just like,
it keeps you on your toes. And hopefully in the future we will have the creator of Hoops Rant on 3 in the Key.
We should do like a game show or something.
He'll
where
have to present you with your trophy at some point, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, that would be nice, actually.
That's true.
The Hoops Rant trophy.
The Elias Alzane Memorial.
Just wearing a crown
memorial,
at all times.
Come on, guys. Stop it.
All right.
Someone will get up and beat me in that game. I will. Right now, I am leading.
I don't know who it is, but if it ends up being someone.
I got a pretty good idea who.
Yeah.
It's not going to be
I got
Dave
a lot
Tripp.
Of free time on my hands.
As you're looking it up while you're playing the game, you're just Googling as well.
You have a time limit, though. It's only 10 seconds.
So what?
That's true. All business.
So that's why it's better. Obviously, or then people would be killing it because they'd be sitting on their computer while
yeah,
playing on
true.
Their phone.
Yeah, there's no time for that nonsense.
But check it out. Hoops Rant is a great game.
All right.
And test your knowledge about the NBA, past and present. But on today's program, we start with Team Canada failing, missing out on the Rio Olympics. They had their chance in this qualifying tournament in Manila in the Philippines. They had 4 games to play, right? 2 games in their group, then a semifinal.
They did really well.
And then the final game, they won their first 3. They beat Turkey. They beat Senegal, although only barely. And then they won the semifinal game against New Zealand, which was a pretty tight one.
By the way, I want to apologize to the Senegal nation about my comment last week. I actually got a tweet saying, hey, man, I better brush up on my Senegal basketball. I got some shade caught that way. But I looked up, and it's like only Diop that was really the only Senegal NBA player who's not even an assistant on the team.
Yeah, but Gorgui Dieng now plays for the Timberwolves. He's from Senegal.
That's right, yeah.
And all the other guys probably play somewhere.
But I got some hate.
Well,
on
there's
Twitter
a reason they
it.
Got to this tournament, though, right? So they're you know they're not scrubs. They
yeah,
can play
sure.
too. And that was a tight game with Canada.
Oh, they won. They're like the best. I think the best team in Africa.
Oh, one of Nigeria is the one that qualified.
Oh,
for the
one
Olympics.
Of Nigeria, but like one of the best teams. Like I read some stats. I made it. One went up and looked it up because it made me feel so bad about it. But yeah, like in '97, they won a medal, I think, and here and there, and they've won a lot of African FIBA cups.
No question.
Like
yeah.
So yeah. So. I feel really
there
guilty about that stuff.
Will, our basketball expert in Senegal.
Yeah, well, now, definitely.
Now.
Before last week, I was not. And in fact, I was actually insulting them. So this is I took a whole 180 here. So I'm an analyst for them.
So they lose to France 83-74.
And they beat New Zealand.
They beat New Zealand in the semifinal, went to the final against France earlier this morning here. In North America, late in the Philippines, lose to France, a veteran team with vet players led by Tony Parker and Boris Diaw and Batum. All those guys hit the shots and made it count when they needed it the most. Nani DiColo was huge, too. He was named MVP of the qualifying tournament. So France qualifies for the Rio Olympics. Also Serbia and Croatia qualified out of the other qualifying tournaments. So 3 European teams, all deserving, of course. But for Canada, it goes back to the, you know, we can't stop talking about it because it goes back to that game against Venezuela and Mexico City.
Yeah,
that
was
if they win that game, they're in this tournament. They'll have probably 12 NBAers
on
suiting up and playing in Rio.
Well, that's part of the problem, though, is when the entire, when every NBA player from Canada decides, hey, I'm going to skip this qualifying tournament, it puts a lot of pressure on certain guys. And until a week ago, we didn't know Tristan Thompson was even playing for this team. So
yeah, exactly. And I think and Bennett, I think, too, right?
Bennett was announced.
Oh, okay.
Later on, after the first original roster was put out, like the 20.
But Tristan was definitely the late.
But, I mean, he played a huge part in getting them as far as they did. And to lose to France, I mean, France is a powerhouse.
Well,
for Canada to go and to push them as close as they did, I think is really impressive.
I mean, they've medaled a lot. I mean, they've secured bronzes.
Hopefully it sends a message to Andrew Wiggins saying, hey, bud.
But now
come
it's going to be
your country when you're under contract.
Now it's going to be, I think, the next major tournament might be like the World Cup or something before the next Olympics. And then the Olympics, if they qualify now, we don't know. It's not a guarantee, obviously, for the 2020. It would be 20 years. The last time was 2000 when they finished seventh. Yeah.
But let's talk about this game today. Because I watched the whole thing. You watched the whole thing. Yeah. Dave snoozed on it. I'm just fucking, But there was a lot of Canadian things going on. Canadian rugby, and of course Milos was in Wimbledon. But I focused on this game. And
same here. I think it was the most important thing.
For me, it was anyway. And like, and
you guys
so
are dicks.
we could bleep that out, I think. This game just started off amazing to watch. Back and forth. Tony, Corey, they were doing like, it was great. I think it was like 20-20 at one point, 20-25. It was just, everything was within five, you know, and it was awesome to watch. And then it kind of pindered off in the second quarter. I mean, 8 points was only scored by France, but then Canada couldn't take advantage of that. I thought Ennis was struggling a lot. Corey Joseph was leading this team in the beginning, and then what's his name off the bench? It was
Ejim,
man. This guy's been great this whole tournament.
Yeah,
he's definitely deserving of an NBA contract.
I think so. I think this guy could make a real impact on an NBA roster.
I like to see the Raptors take a run at him.
Inside outside
Melvin
skill.
Ejim, and he plays in Italy right now, and he's great. He, what you like to say, stretch the floor.
Yeah, he had a LeBron-ish block against New Zealand. Did you see that play?
Oh, the run back. Man.
Ooh.
That was great.
He chased him down and swatted that one away, but he's definitely, I think, played himself into the NBA radar.
I thought the Scrubs played very well.
Definitely,
they know how to win. They're disciplined. They've been well coached, obviously, by Dave Smart at Carlton U, who's also the assistant for Team Canada.
Now,
Thomas Scrubs started in this tournament.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And he had a nice big block in this game as well. There's really smart players. They can play. They're really solid defenders. And obviously their offensive game at this level, maybe against a team like France, you know, you didn't really see it, but Thomas Grubb had a dunk, he hit a three. They're solid players, but, I mean, Canada just fell short again, and it goes back. You can't just stop talking about it because it's the whole reason they were in this qualifying tournament.
It was Venezuela.
It was Venezuela, and Venezuela's going to haunt Canada now for four more years.
But they had their chance today, and they blew that as well.
They did. Too many turnovers, I think,
and
as well.
France is that more experienced team, and obviously with Tony, and we
Nicholas
saw Boris Diaw play very well. And they let Boris too open. Like, they were like, Coach Jay was like, we're going to let him shoot. And he burned them a few times, especially at the end of the first half. That was a real kind of like a clutch play by Diaw. And I think that this experience by this French team really came out at the end in the clutch, and you saw that from Tony kind of just owning it all. And I thought Ennis, whenever he had the ball and they took Kojo out, I think it was just a mess on offense. Like, it just no one, he wasn't taking screens, and he would travel a few times here and there, and he would take, like, it was just a mess. Obviously, sometimes you find an open lane, you get a straight layup here and there, but overall, I thought Ennis on both sides of the ball was kind of struggling.
I feel a little bad for Ennis. He's been buried in a couple organizations recently. He got drafted by the Suns, was stuck behind seven point guards on that team they decided
to guard,
trade them
all
away.
Guard team.
Well, not hardly anymore, but they certainly were at that time. I mean, you had Dragic, you had Bledsoe, you had Isaiah Thomas all in front of him.
Oh, my goodness.
Then he goes to Milwaukee. You've got Michael Carter-Williams in front of him now. You've got Antetokounmpo playing the point a lot of the time. It's going to be a tough nut to crack for him to get minutes. So when you're sitting on the bench in the NBA, I mean, how do you develop?
No,
and they signed Dellavedova now.
That's right. Yeah. And so he's pushing him further.
That's what
down
it looked like when he was
chart.
On this court. But he's like, "Oh, now it's my shot." And then like he'll
but
try
I think
to get...
he played well. Some of the shots, maybe some poor decisions, but I didn't really have a problem with Tyler Ennis. Also, a guy like Dave mentioned, he hasn't been playing a lot, so this was kind of like, you know, getting back into it and playing.
He's playing out of position a lot of the time, too.
Yeah, he was starting in the backcourt with Corey Joseph. Obviously, Corey Joseph was the number one option for Canada.
Yeah.
And you can tell they were lacking another, like, scorer with him. Like, Thompson's not a scorer. Anthony Bennett is not really a scorer. You need to set them up. They couldn't really get it on their own. Maybe if they had a Wiggins or a somebody else, they could be able to create for themselves. But they didn't. And they had 21 turnovers, Canada, to France's 16. Brutal. France shot just under 62% from the field. That's the game right there, 82% at the free throw line. Tony Parker only averaged 9 points in the whole tournament, scored 26 today.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that all tournament, though, the Canadians have been letting the guards score. It's just been,
yes,
it's been
it a was. Mess. It was Corey Joseph, who's been phenomenal for the Canadian program. And this, what they call the golden age of Canadian men's basketball, and
we've never been this good.
I think,
and
it's
we
just
still, and
that.
We couldn't even produce an Olympic berth.
Yeah,
it's disappointing.
Fortunate, yeah, disappointing.
But it's still a great effort by the Canadian team. And you look at this team; a lot of people would look at them and say, "Who are these guys?" There's two or three NBAers on the roster, but they really showed up. Canada's got a lot of talent playing outside the NBA. And I think it is the Canadian golden age because I don't think the talent's ever been better.
No, I agree. I mean, we saw Bennett play well. We saw Ejim play very good. Birch was quietly good as well. It's just they have pieces, but there's stars that they need.
Well, wait till hopefully next time they can get your Jamal Murray, your Andrew Wiggins, Trey Lyles, who's been a beast
Kelly
in summer league.
Yeah, Kelly Olynyk, yeah. Andrew Nicholson. Like next time Canada needs to play to qualify for the World Cup or the Olympics down the stretch, they're going
to
have a full NBA roster. Nick Stauskas, a good shooter, obviously a great shooter.
Yep.
Bradley Heslop, who really struggled in this tournament. Canada could really use his shooting, but he struggled throughout. And it's a disappointing time. You know, we all love what Canada's been producing in the NBA and at the national level. It's been great, but it's a disappointing time.
And
to qualify.
You said the Raptors have DiColo. I like DiColo.
Yeah, they have his rights. And
he's
French
guy. He was a white French boy. He was
all
right.
He did play for the Raptors before going off to Europe with Moscow, and he just read up there. He was the MVP of this tournament, and he is solid. And the Raptors have made a qualifying offer to him so that no one could go out and try to snag him.
He had a little scuffle with
Thompson. Thompson, yeah, and it was his fault. He shouldn't have been holding on to Thompson.
He was holding him, and then he flopped afterwards. But that's something that you want on your team. Like he's that scrappy player, and he actually produces on offense. I was telling you,
and he's another Spurs guy. Like he started in the Spurs organization. Yeah. Same with Corey Joseph, who at the end you saw him hugging with Tony Parker. He was backing him up for 4 years. They won a championship.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of
love Corey Joseph learned a lot, and that's why he's a really good leader. We saw that with the Raptors this year, especially down in that long playoff stretch. And now for Team Canada, I think Corey Joseph will probably enjoy this little time off that he has before getting ready for next NBA season. But
kind of off topic, but also sort of on. You'll notice that Olivier Hanlon, Montreal, or he's from
Alamer.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's
right here.
He's from real close, the local boy. He was the exchange for Boris Diaw.
With
in
the
Jazz trade. So he's going to be going and playing under Popovich. Maybe we have another great Canadian point guard one day.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah,
if he makes the Spurs roster or plays in their D-League team, but they do now own his rights. Again, Canada losing 83-74 this morning to France and miss out on the opportunity to play next month in the Rio Olympics. And they just got to look at the future now. Hopefully they can round the troops and get NBA guys, all of them who play in the league, all 12 and 15 or whatever the number is, but 12 for the national team, and hopefully they can make some noise and try to win the World Cup and qualify for 2020 now. That will be the focus, and just keep developing the young guys, the little kids, the cadets, all the way up to the men's national team, and hopefully one day we'll be talking about Canada winning a gold medal. Next, we talk KD's move to Golden State with SB Nation's Andy Liu. Stay tuned.
and this is obviously a big moment in your career and in your life, but what is your message to those that will vilify you for the decision that you made to come here?
I can't control that. All I can control is how I come to work every single day and what I do to help this team win. And I knew that was a part of this whole deal. That's just the life we live. But I'm every single day, all I can control is how I work. And I can't really worry about the outside noise.
Welcome back to 3 in the Key.
Welcome back inside the Key. 3 in the Key, Eli Salzan alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. And we're still sad about Canada.
Yeah, we're still down.
It hurts.
D in the D.
It does hurt. But now we move our focus back to the NBA. Obviously, the big move this past week was Kevin Durant joining the Golden State Warriors, leaving the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were his only organization and franchise that he played for. And now we're joined by SB Nation's Andy Liu, who's out on the West Coast, so we can talk about Kevin Durant. What's up, Andy?
Good. I guess I can't do any better than this, huh? Thanks for having me on, yeah.
Oh, no problem.
It's already bragging.
So obviously the biggest fish on the market or in the sea, as people like to say, Kevin Durant, because everyone thinks LeBron James probably will re-sign with Cleveland. But KD going to Golden State, you know, the team that he lost to in the West Finals after being up 3-1, huge move, the biggest, the best name you can add, a four-time scoring champion. I think offensively, he's just going to fit in that offense with all that ball movement. He's not going to have a problem. But I want to know, how does he fit on the defensive side of things?
Yeah, I think that's a fun little scenario to consider, because Kevin Durant was a good defender. I mean, he was probably considered somewhat average as a defender in his last couple seasons in OKC, but last season in the postseason, he really turned it up like several notches. Everybody always says when a guy plays two or three, which is what Durant played his whole career, a three, doesn't have to do much on defense, especially a guy with his caliber. Doesn't have to play much, mainly because he has to play so much offense. They shifted him to the four position, power forward position, and that allowed him to, you know, he doesn't have to bang as much, mainly when you play against the Warriors, you're going against Draymond Green and whatnot, who isn't necessarily the biggest guy. When they shifted Durant to the four, he was incredible on defense. He was able to switch out on guard. He was able to protect the rim against guys like Sean Livingston, Draymond Green, who was, there was one play where he recovered on help and was able to block Livingston at the rim. So he turned out to be a much, much better defender than we all thought he was going to be in the postseason, which is, you know, when guys start actually trying. You know, take a look at LeBron James, who was incredible in the finals when he started trying. So it's going to be fun to see. Now the Warriors are going to have two rim protectors who aren't traditional shot centers, both KD and Draymond. It's going to be fun to watch because they're going to play small a lot, and they're going to have both guys protect the rim. Last year, they only had Harrison Barnes at the four, so it was really only one guy at the rim with Draymond. So now they're going to be able to even switch more and have another guy that can protect the rim with Draymond Green.
So this is obviously a gigantic move, one of the biggest names in the league joining another one of the biggest names, two MVPs together here in Golden State. What's the feeling like right now in the Bay Area? Are people hyped up?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous because a lot of fans still did not believe that it was happening until he put on that Golden State jersey. What was it on? I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday for the press conference. People still didn't believe what was happening. And I mean, it's just one of those things where fans are so used to, not even like more than 5-6 years ago when Golden State Warriors were overpaying for, you know, crappy free agents like Corey Maggette, or, you know, willing to overpay for pretty much anyone. And now it's, you know, just a couple years later, it's gotten to the fact that, hey, the Warriors are actually the prime destination for someone of Kevin Durant's caliber. Kevin Durant in the meeting itself even said, hey, you guys won 73 games. You guys already have a title. Why do you guys even want me on your team, you know? So it's one of those things where fans are still unable to comprehend that the Warriors are this prime destination. Basically, I was writing the other day, they're the new age Lakers of the 2000s. So it's getting pretty ridiculous.
And yeah, there's obviously a lot of elements going into this that made Durant want to go with the Warriors. What do you think was the main reason? Was it the West call? Was it maybe being annoyed with Westbrook? Was it what? Or was it just Oakland itself? Maybe what was the main reason you think that swayed him to go to the Warriors?
Yeah, I think there were. I think this one was more a combination of a lot of things. You already mentioned some. I think Westbrook, obviously, you know, playing with him really just kind of grates on you after 8-9 years. The West Coast being in nice weather, things like that. He's obviously not from here, and he knows that, you know, it's year-round pretty nice in San Francisco. Can't complain, of course, living in Silicon Valley, things like that. I think overall, though, for someone like Kevin Durant, he was pushed a lot away by a lot of people to play for the Golden State Warriors for, you know, shoes, business, things like that. But I think mainly the main decision was up to him. And I think to him, winning a championship was the most important thing, no matter how he was going to be able to do it, right? A lot of people say, oh, he's coming to the Warriors. He's going to win a championship. But it's not going to mean much. I think that, though, like 10, 15 years from now, when people are talking about these Golden State Warriors, no matter how many championships they win, about Kevin Durant, they're not really going to mention so much that, hey, this guy really cheated his way into winning 4 championships in a row, right? They're going to talk about, hey, Kevin Durant made a decision to the Golden State Warriors, and after 9 years of not winning, of coming in second, you know, playing injured, things like that, he finally won 4 championships, 3 championships, whatever it is, whatever it may be. And I think that Durant knows that because at the end of the day, for him, he just wants to win a title. He just wants to be happy. He gets 2 of those things, or he gets the best chance at both things playing for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, and you mentioned that people are saying now, especially, oh, he's taking the coward's route or the easy way out, joining this superstar team already. Now they have 4 out of the top 12 or 15 players in the league playing together. But you can kind of say that about LeBron a few years ago, how he left Cleveland and they were a good team. I know he wasn't playing with the best players, but they had won over 60 games in back-to-back seasons just before he left. He couldn't get over that Boston hump, so he went and created his own super team. But now everyone likes him again because he went back to Cleveland and did what he did. I don't think necessarily Kevin Durant might go back to OKC down the line. I think maybe he stays in Golden State. And if they have like these guys all in their prime, they can go to like 5, 6 straight 7 finals maybe if they stay like healthy and they can win all these titles. But I want to know also, what does it mean losing guys like, you know, Andrew Bogut was a big presence at the rim, a very good passer. He set all those, you know, ball screens for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry to get open. Barnes, I see like Golden State Twitter hates him, but he was good for a couple of years. He did some things, but he gets hated on a lot. And obviously in the playoffs and down in the finals, he didn't play really well. And a guy like Mo Spates off the bench, who it seemed like every time I was watching a Golden State game, the fans really embraced him and like him. What are they going to miss from these guys? Obviously adding Kevin Durant is, you know, is amazing, but these guys are maybe going to get overlooked a little bit. What can you say about what they brought and what they're going to be missed for?
Yeah, that's a fun one because a lot of Warriors fans over here, the thing about Warriors fans is we're always stressed about something. We're always unnecessarily stressed about something. And after getting Durant, once the euphoria kind of washed over, a lot of fans are worried about, hey, the team was built on strength and numbers last year. That was their motto. And now that they lose all these bench guys, what are they going to do? I think a lot of that is overstated. I think Bogut's a fun player. You know, Barnes is a solid wing guy, like you were saying. All these guys are solid role players, but I think they're just that. They're role players. When it came down to the postseason, that strength in numbers model really was more of a regular season vibe than anything. At the end of the day, it was up to Stephen Curry to really get that offense going because if the game was tied or if they were up 10 and the bench came in for those beginning of the second and fourth quarters, the bench was not good, especially when they had to go up against OKC and Cleveland. Mainly because the other teams shortened their rotation, and the Warriors, you know, still trying to live up to that strength and numbers model, play their bench, and then got outplayed a lot. And then on another side of that, Andrew Bogut was, 80% of the time in the postseason not very good. So while I say that the role players weren't very good when it mattered, it still means a lot that these guys were there for that first championship. Was there for the 73 wins. So that's obviously very good for the Warriors. I just don't think that it matters too much. Now that they have Kevin Durant, they're also able to sign David West and Zaza Pachulia to really ridiculous deals that that really they're not worth. I mean, Pachulia and West, they could easily get $10 million on the open market, but they took a discount to play for the Warriors. They re-sign, you know, Ian Clark and McAdoo, and they're going to be able to find a bunch of younger guys as well that are going to take veteran deals, somebody like Larry Sanders and things like that. So I wouldn't worry too much. I guess the main drawback would be maybe they have to play the other guys a little bit more in the regular season, so maybe there's a higher chance of injuries. But even so, Steve Kerr has told us already that he's not going to go for 73. After last season, I think they've learned their lesson. There's going to be a lot of resting this season.
Yeah, you just kind of see how it goes. Andy, we've got a super team here on our hands. How are they going to be able to get all these players the touches they need? Do you think it's the end of Steph Curry as MVP of the NBA? Do you think it's more about the team now, or do you think these players will still be able to get their individual successes?
I think so. I think you're right. I mean, the first statement, I think this is the end of Stephen Curry as MVP, unless somebody gets hurt for a long time. You know, it's funny because Stephen Curry had this great season, one of the greatest we've ever seen, and honestly, the greatest I've ever seen, though I have only been covering the team for about 4 years. He got hurt in the postseason. Now, people don't want to admit this, don't want to say it, whatever it is, whatever it may be. Woj tweet, talked about this. He even Steph himself said he was hurt. So he had a pretty mediocre postseason for his, you know, for the player of his caliber. This next postseason could have been something of a redemption for him to just play really well in the postseason and say, hey guys, I'm not actually that same player in the finals that was completely out of it half the time, right? But, you know, that's not going to happen anymore, mainly because they have Durant, who's, when both players are healthy, when both players are firing on all cylinders, Durant might be a better player than Steph. I mean, that wouldn't be surprising. And so, like those LeBron James Heat, by the end of his career here in Golden State, Durant might end up as the better player as Stephen Curry. Now, you know, that's a maybe, but it's just like, I don't think Steph cares. And I think he told KD, hey, you know, you can come here, you can win the MVP, I'm going to be in the first row, I'm going to be the one celebrating with you, man. I don't think Steph cares that he's not going to be the best player, or he's not going to be able to win MVP on this team anymore. Although, I think you're right, I think that is true. And I think on the other side of that, Draymond Green, how does it affect him? How does it affect Klay Thompson? I'd like to say right now that those guys don't care. Draymond Green was the number one guy recruiting KD. He's the one guy that doesn't really care about shooting, to be honest. He doesn't mind getting the 10, 15 assists that he's going to get every game. So I'd like to think that he doesn't care, though he has an attitude to maybe, you know, throw a temper tantrum now and then. Klay Thompson is so spacey sometimes. I saw him in a playoff game just completely stand in the corner for an entire fourth quarter while Stephen Curry was shooting, you know, pretty much every possession, and then Klay will go back and play defense. So I'd like to think that Klay is another one that, you know, is going to sacrifice a little bit. He's going to get a ton of open shots anyway, but you never know.
A handful of rings wouldn't hurt either, right? So.
Yeah,
you never know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, these guys, they could care. This could be something that winning, maybe they only win two titles in 4 years, and then everything starts to break up and things like that. So I'm not sure. I think that for now, their system allows them. Their mindset really is really different from other superstars. They have less of an ego, guys like Klay, Steph, that are the superstars. So I think that it does work out, at least for the first 2 years, 3 years. I mean, like you said, it just matters how many rings they win. If they only win 2 and 5, then yeah, that's bad. If they win 3 or 4 in 5 years, then I think it's going to turn out just fine.
Andy, we're still inside a week from Durant signing, and this is a very comparable to what James did 6 years ago, jumping over to Miami. How is it different? Is he automatically a villain, like how everyone saw LeBron when he went down south, or is this a different situation?
I think there are some similarities here. I don't think KD is ever going to have that inherent need or inherent want to go back to OKC. Remember, LeBron is from Cleveland. That community really had an attachment to where they really thought that he was some type of hero for them. Now, you know, if you think an athlete is your hero, you're already screwing up, right? I mean, athletes aren't heroes. They're humans. This isn't how sports works. But Cleveland fans have this inherent, you know, want that, hey, LeBron is our guy, he's our Superman or whatever it is. I don't think KD was ever that guy for OKC. Remember that he was, I mean, these NBA players are drafted. These guys aren't choosing to go to these places. KD was drafted by Seattle, and then they were, you know, stolen from Seattle to go to OKC. It wasn't like KD in career and his life.
That's what I see, too. I feel like this is revenge. This is revenge for OKC stealing Seattle.
I don't fault OKC fans. You know, if I was an OKC fan, I'd be sad, too. This isn't something that, hey, OKC fans, you guys stole Seattle, now you guys are going to get screwed. It's not like OKC fans were the one that were screwing them.
No.
You know, it's all about Clay Bennett guy who was a complete, you know, joke of an owner. So it's like, So it's like, okay, if somebody's deserving to lose this, it's that guy. But you know, I don't think KD's ever going to want to go back, or not want to go back. He's going to want that need to go back. I think that LeBron, the similarity comes in that they both chose to go to another team that they thought had a higher chance of winning a championship. Now, the main difference is LeBron took a bigger risk than KD, in my opinion. LeBron moved to Miami, and they did not have a set team. They put together Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, who had never played together. They had no idea what style they were going to play, and a bunch of veterans guys that they really didn't know. And also Miami, where you know, they were just friends, didn't really know what was going on. The thing with KD is he's coming to a team that has a set system, a set structure, a set core that has played before and won already. So in a lot of cases, KD has actually made the road even easier for himself.
Despite him saying it's the hardest road.
Right, that was I'm a Warriors guy, but yeah, that was a little.
Yeah, man.
I mean, KD, he just took out his own team out of the playoffs here, and Spurs are taking a step back, so it's more of a the Warriors hardest route. I'm not so sure about that one.
Speaking with SB Nation's Andy Liu here about Kevin Durant to. Decided to join the Golden State Warriors. We just have a couple of minutes here left with you, Andy, so I have a couple questions. The pressure of winning next year is on for Golden State, obviously after winning 73 games this past season and failing to bring home that title. What happens if they don't win again with adding, you know, a Kevin Durant?
That's going to be a fun one because I remember last year's spotlight, the pressure, all of that was pretty great. The team was under a lot of scrutiny and things like that. The first year they won 67 games, it was there, but really if they won or lost, it wouldn't have been that big a deal. Last year when they lost, oh man, that backlash was incredible. Now, when they added Kevin Durant, I mean, most fans that aren't Warriors fans already hate this team because of Draymond Green. Now that they add KD, and then they end up not winning a championship. I think probably one of the biggest fails in history. I mean, that Game 7 collapse. I mean, that Finals collapse is already one of the biggest chokes in history, in NBA history. So you add this on if they're not able to win a title, and then even further than that, we might be starting to see cracks in the team itself. Mainly, you know, maybe Draymond blows up again. You know, maybe Klay Thompson suddenly. Hey, we failed 2 years in a row now. I need more shots. You know, I'm never going to say it's going to come from Steph Curry, mainly because I think he's the guy on the team that has always going to be the least to displace Lame or anything like that. But things are going to start calling for maybe Steve Kerr, things like that. That's going to take a bit of a collapse. You know, maybe them losing in the Western Conference Finals or choking away another lead in the finals. If an injury happens, then maybe it won't. But
to be honest, you know, I don't think they lose. I think they're too good, especially adding, like you said, Zaza Pachulia and David West, two solid veterans on cheap deals, and they still have their pick of who else they want to add. They still have some young players. Looney didn't play at all last year, so he might be able to come in and produce some minutes and see how he goes. One last question before we ask you about the Raptors, because we like to ask our American guests about what they think about the Raptors. How many threes do you think they're going to make this year?
I think
million. 1 million.
So what was it? Steph had 400 last year. Yeah, man.
Because they added KD, who could shoot it at over 40% from beyond the arc, and he's going to get some freebies this year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, someone's got to be open on this team. If you're going to double somebody, like, Klay's got a shot, Curry's got a shot.
Draymond can hit it. Like, we're going to start seeing Zaza Pachulia hit threes, I think. I'm serious. Like, a ballpark number, if you had to say, like, Curry had, like, 402, 400 threes last year. The second closest guy was Klay Thompson with 270-something. That's, like, 600-700 threes just with them.
Oh my, yeah, I'd have to compare it to the number that they had last year overall. I think they each comfortably hit 300 pretty easily. I think that, you know, the shots are going to go down a little bit for Steph. So I think they all hit 300 easily. I do have one scenario that I wanted to point out in regards to three-point shooting for these guys. It's that when they do play that starting lineup, they have the three greatest shooters, you know, probably one of the three greatest, if not the three greatest of all time, at least in all three in the top 10. They're able to, when it comes down to the bench, they're able to bench Steph and Dre. I think Kerr's going to bench Steph and Dre because those guys play so great together. And against bench units in the beginning of second and fourth quarters, they're going to be able to trot out a lineup of Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Andre Iguodala against opposing team bench units. That's pretty
scary.
I mean,
yeah.
Last year, they were trotting out Klay Thompson just by himself with guys like Harrison Barnes. Now you put Durant against that bench unit. Yeah, so when people ask me about the bench, that's usually what I say back to them. I don't think there's too much to worry about.
We're going to see a lot of fourth quarter rests, I believe,
for sure.
All these guys. Last question, Andy, for you. Obviously, up here in Canada, we pay lots of attention to the Toronto Raptors. They're nationally televised every single one of their games in Canada for the last couple of years, so we get to watch them night in, night out, maybe when they're not televised down in the U.S., they just re-signed DeRozan to a big deal. Personally, I'm not a fan of that. I don't think he is that, you know, great of a player to deserve that much money because he doesn't really bring it. With the salary cap and everything, I understand he's a good, like, two-point shooter, mid-range game guy, but he hasn't really developed a three. He's okay on the defensive end. The Raptors, not a lot of people, it seems like, up here, at least when they made it to the East Finals and the U.S. started really picking up on them, it didn't seem like they watched them throughout the year. So we know that they were a really good team. They finished second in the East, 56 wins, which was a franchise record. They set so many franchise records
furthest
this year.
Furthest in the playoffs
and
ever.
Furthest. They took two from Cleveland and went to a game six. Why is it that they don't get enough maybe respect out in the U.S.?
I think, well, to preface this, I love this Raptors team. I've always enjoyed watching them play in the regular season. In the postseason, they go through this weird lull where everything seems so hard just to win games. But I do enjoy that Raptors game, that Raptors team. And then Canada as a whole, as in Vancouver, though that's not Toronto. but I do love Vancouver a lot.
We missed the Grizzlies.
the thing with that Toronto team is I think they play in the East. And the thing with the East is a lot of people over in the West think that, oh man, LeBron James went over there. He's just going to walk to the NBA Finals every season because that East is so bad. And the more it happens, the more it's like, well, LeBron James has walked over the Eastern Conference in the past 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years to get to the NBA Finals. And the only teams that has ever gotten his way are those, obviously, you know, those Boston Celtics, even way, way, way back, those Detroit Pistons, and then even, I guess, somewhat recently, those Indiana Pacers for the Miami Heat. Now it's one of those things where I think that because that there's no challenger in the East, no real challenger for the Cavs, that a lot of teams get overlooked. I do enjoy watching them sometimes. The East, some of the teams, I think the Pacers are going to be fun this year, the Hawks, the Celtics. I'm a little worried about the Raptors. I think they might take a step back like you guys. I think that DeRozan contract, while it makes sense, I mean, the cap's going up, all that, it makes sense, it's fine. But do you really want that as, you know, your main big contract? Kyle Lowry being one of my favorite point guards, don't really know what happened to him. Maybe I think he was hurt in the postseason. But is there another step that these guys can take in the postseason? Is there a player that can flourish, you know, break out the way? Maybe it's Valanciunas. On that side, maybe it's, you know, Kabako, if I'm saying that right. Maybe he does turn out to be the next Kevin Durant.
He's still so one year away from being 2 years away, so we got some time.
he might be able to take over that team when DeRozan's contract goes up, huh?
Yeah.
I think they just need that extra guy. I mean, now they lost Biombo. That's certainly not great.
Not for that much money.
Hugh Valanciunas, who's one of my favorite, you know, big men. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a little worried about that team right now, to be honest. They just need another player there who I don't know where they're going to get it from.
It almost seems like they're waiting for the Valanciunas who's been playing well the last couple of years, and he's ready for that role. He did get hurt in the playoffs, and that's what really set him back a bit. But maybe a Terrence Ross can pick it up a bit. And those guys, they have a complete team, a deep team, and that's what they need night in and night out with Kyle Lowry and DeRozan leading them. And I think they might be taking a step back and might not finish second in the East this year, but I think they'll still be a solid
Andy
team.
I think Andy was saying that he's calling Toronto Golden State final.
I think I heard that one too, actually.
Yeah, so I think that's the long way of saying it.
All right, thanks to Andy Liu of SB Nations for joining us, and we'll definitely check in with you sometime during the year to see how Kevin Durant's doing in a Warriors uniform.
Golden State of mind, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me on.
Thank you.
No problem, man. Thanks.
Simmons up high, rebounds, and he can run. How about that pass? Come on, Liu. Threads it down the paint for two. Beautiful, beautiful pass by Simmons.
We're going to see a different style of play there in Philadelphia next year.
Welcome back to Three in the Key.
Back inside the Key, Elias Elzain alongside Will Macklin and Dave Tripp. That was a great conversation with SB Nation's Golden State of Mind, Andy Liu. That was really good. We got a lot of insight on...
Yeah, they're fired up down there.
I have him on LinkedIn, quietly. I don't know how that even happened.
You're linked.
I thought LinkedIn was originally how to meet singles, but no, it's a business thing.
That's Christian Mingle.
Oh, I always mix those up.
You gonna sign up for that one now, Will?
Christian LinkedIn Mingle. Yeah, I'm gonna try to do a hybrid.
All right. Well, we need an update on that for next
week. I will
week.
Definitely. I'll try to be that correspondent.
Do I want to network Rochelle. With this girl? Swipe to the left.
Hopefully, yeah, Rochelle's not listening.
No. Oh God, no. She hates basketball.
We move on to
dominate the bracket.
That's true. Which he hurts even more. Somehow.
It's true. This year's bracket, though, she won, okay? Let's make sure of it.
Yeah, of course. Yes, of course. Next March, we're going to kill it.
Now, on Three in the Key, it's Swish or Miss.
It's free agent time. We're going to do a little runoff pee from what we were just discussing, but this is more for Dave's opinion. Does this move for Durant hurt his reputation as a player? Swish or Miss.
Swish in the short term, for sure. I think that it's hurt his reputation with me.
Are you okay?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little hurt over this. I'm not really into the championship chasing. If he'd stayed in Oklahoma City with a team that pushed the Warriors to the brink in the playoffs and won a championship there with Russell Westbrook, I wouldn't have had more respect for the guy. I would have had a ton of respect for the guy that's doing it the right way. Maybe re-sign in OKC or do whatever you want after that. You've accomplished exactly what you set out to do in that city. But to bug out a year early with Westbrook hanging in the lurch, I don't know. I don't like it that much. It's great for the Bay Area. I mean, they're going to be a competitive team forever as long as KD is there and probably beyond. But I don't know. I'm not crazy about it. I'm going to say it's a swish. It will hurt his brand going forward.
How about you?
I like how Dave said it was a swish in the short term.
Yes.
But yeah, somehow it comes out of the hoop and it misses.
Yes. In terms of, I think he's going to be hated, like, and it's going to hurt him. In Oklahoma City more than anywhere else. I don't know, because now we're used to superstars leaving, you know, after LeBron.
Do they boo him if he goes back to OKC?
Probably, because fans are going to be like, they're mad, right? That their star player left.
But he left a year early. Like, Oklahoma City, they could have won the championship this year. They can't anymore.
Yeah.
He stole a possible championship from that city.
They're still a pretty good team. Like, they're not.
No, he didn't. You know, it's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. He's not guaranteed in Golden State. But will they boo him? Yeah, because they're pissed off fans. But we're used to seeing players now more in this age leave. Look at Dwayne Wade, man. Dwayne Wade is now a Chicago Bull. Over a couple of million dollars.
Yeah, they lowballed him.
Over a couple of million dollars. You know, yeah, he didn't want to stay in Miami. He didn't feel appreciated. He wasn't the first phone call of free agency.
What an ugly fit in Chicago, too.
We'll talk about that later.
he wanted more money, and they wanted to get Hassan Whiteside under contract, and they wanted to go after KD and all that.
Of course.
But I don't think it's going to hurt him that much. I think his brand's going to grow, obviously, out in Northern California, and already they're one of the top two teams in merchandise, Golden State, so they're going to explode.
That 35 jersey's already selling.
Yeah, so I don't think it's gonna hurt him.
I don't think it hurts him. I think as for us fans, we were upset that he didn't make the right choice, quote unquote. I think it's one of those things where you just don't want to end up like Malone, you know, or Stockton, right? You don't want to end up like those guys. And I think you have that fear. And I mean, that phone call with West, it was, hey man, like, I won a few championships, but those ones I lost, those hurt the most. And I don't want you to be in that situation. I want you to be the best situation possible for you to win a championship. And this helps him do that. It eases off the pressure on him.
Say it's the hardest road, that's Balder dad.
That was brutal. Yeah, that was the ironic statement ever. But yeah, so I don't think it does hurt his situation, or reputation rather. I think it helps him West Coast, and I think it's okay to be the villain sometimes. You know,
I agree.
And you know what? It's cool to be that sometimes. A cool heel. It's
we'll
all
see
right
how he
to
handles it though.
Definitely. All right. Well, that's our first one. Now, what was your reaction, Swisher Mish, to the former NBA players reacting to Durant going to this? This is more Barkley kind of crapping on him. Even just analysts like Stephen A. Smith's reaction. What was your guys' take, Swish or Miss? Do you think these were the proper reactions by these guys?
I'd say Swish. Emotional reactions to something this big, I think it's good. It's what you're hearing from me right now. I'm emotional about it. Eventually, I'll harden up.
Right.
And I'll pick a side. But right now, this is the biggest move possibly in NBA history. I mean, you're taking the best team in the league, won 73 games last year, and just got a former MVP to join your ranks. It's a gigantic move, and it could, like our last guest just said, it could spell four straight championships for the Warriors.
No, it's true. But do you think, so you're okay with Barkley kind of peeking at him?
I think it is the easy route. Going to Golden State and vying for championships there is the easy route, but it's also the smartest choice.
Do you think it's people who are beaking at him because of how old he is? Say if he did this when he was like 33, 34.
That would make a huge difference.
It would have made a bigger difference, yeah. I'm going to swish on their comments. Maybe were a bit out of line. They're old school guys, right? Well, Stephen A. didn't play in the NBA, but Charles Barkley's old school. Even Larry Bird came out and said a few days ago, he's like, I would have never joined Magic. And that, as a fan,
but that's different. That's like a rivalry thing.
Yeah, Larry's a different kind of cat.
But also, as a fan, you want to see these guys go against each other.
Of course.
So more superstars on different teams. But the thing with Golden State is that they drafted all those guys, so you can't say that about them.
No.
They did obviously go get Durant, and that was like a huge thing. But, you know, when LeBron left Cleveland, that was a big move in NBA history, too, leaving his hometown. He got
and
drafted there.
And also how
there.
He did it, too. When it
and,
becomes
yeah, with the TV, I think that was a bad choice.
The parade, like, that's brutal.
And then they come out, like, D-Wade and Chris Bosh saying, we're not going to win one, not two, not three, not four, not
like,
whatever.
All that stuff. Like, that
and
that
they
was
only
brutal.
Ended up getting two. But
oh, did they? I have to recheck that. I'm gonna double check your facts.
That was also a big move, but I get it. They reacted instantly over emotion.
Of course.
And Charles Barkley is more of an old school guy. He'd like to go up against all these superstars.
He kind of did the same thing too, right? Because at the end of his career, he'd bounce with the Rockets a little bit.
Yeah, Barkley left at the end of his career.
Malone
trying to train.
And Payton did that. You know,
Payton got a championship
with Miami. Yeah.
Dwayne Wade.
Well, dude, I don't think Dwayne Wade's chasing championship. He's just chasing
dollars. He's okay. He's definitely okay with it. Yeah.
Yeah. But
have fun with Rondo.
Like, Kobe didn't do it, obviously. Duncan didn't do it. Nowinski, we just saw. Like, they missed out on free agents, but
they
now they got Bogut and Barnes. But he signed his
But they all won rings on
deal.
Their own the right way. So why
yeah,
would
exactly.
They
do what? Exactly. They.
Well, what is
not.
The right way, quote unquote?
I guess so. Yeah, there's no really a right way. Guys now are just. For a basketball decision, I think Durant, obviously he thinks he made the right one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's trying to get championships.
And we say that about LeBron going back. I mean, that was a basketball decision more than, obviously going home. But
yeah,
like, look
obviously
because
it didn't look like Pat Riley was going to, you know, spend all that money and keep going. He always wanted future flexibility for the team. But he left Cleveland to go get championships. Right. That's what he left Cleveland to go do. He left to go to Miami, team up with his guys, and try to win titles. KD just is maybe that missing piece for that Golden State dynasty for the next 5 to 10 years or whatever it is.
One difference with LeBron and KD is that when LeBron left Cleveland, he left them depleted. Whereas Oklahoma City's going to make the playoffs this year. They're not not toast. Like, Russell Westbrook could be the MVP of the whole league.
Yeah, I've been obviously on this program the last couple of episodes earlier on a couple of weeks ago. I've been always saying I think Kawhi is going to be the MVP next year. But now, with KD gone out of Oklahoma City, I think Westbrook could average almost or close to a triple-double.
Right.
That's if Sam Presti and OKC choose to keep him. Like, they have a good, solid team around him. Oladipo, they have Kanter, they have Adams. They have guys that can come in
let's move on. I was going to say, let's move on. Does this enhance the chances of Russell Westbrook staying in OKC? Swish or miss?
I mean, Westbrook is a big-time competitor. We all see that by the way he approaches every single game, every single possession. If he wants to have his own team and be that guy, I think he stays and they build around him and get maybe another, or maybe Oladipo can transform
into... I mean,
Victor's
a great pickup.
Yeah, he can
Adams
maybe...
showed a really
Kanter off the bench has been solid. Maybe they start him and Adams at the 5-4, although I think that would be kind of hard spacing-wise. But he can be the man down there, and he is the man now. Oladipo can be a nice...
They also got Ilyasova, too.
Ilyasova can stretch the floor. But does he want a bigger market?
Does he want to go back out west?
Yeah, does OKC think that he's not going to stay?
Well, maybe
they tried to renegotiate and extend him, but he didn't want any of that. So do they trade him before the season starts?
Maybe we see a scenario.
I don't know.
Maybe we see a scenario where LA drops a guy like D'Angelo Russell for a guy like Westbrook. The best for both teams, maybe. You get a...
That way, yes. If I'm the Lakers, I would do it. But obviously, if I'm OKC...
It would
OKC,
take more than just him.
Yeah, I would ask, if I was Sam Presti, I'd ask for, like, all the guys. I would ask for D'Angelo. I'd ask for Randall Ingram.
For sure.
Randall, maybe. Yeah. Probably not Clarkson, but, like, if... Whoever trades for Westbrook has to give up a lot. And depending, our team's going to do it now with only 1 year left. Does he get traded at the deadline? We got to see. I think OKC holds on to him and bets on themselves again, trying to keep him and say, we can improve the team. We can go out and get other free agents and put them alongside you.
But it just amazes me that this team had Durant, Harden, and Westbrook on the same team at one point.
Ibaka,
yeah.
All those guys are gone. And I'm telling you, if they would have probably re-signed Harden, gave him a bit of money and paid that luxury tax.
Gave him some shots.
Well, he was coming off the bench. He was getting the shots. He was the sixth man of the year before he got... If they would have paid him what he wanted, and he would have probably still been happy coming off the bench, because at the end of the game, he was on the floor closing out the game.
Yeah.
OKC would probably have a championship, and all these guys would still be there, and we would be talking about them and not the Golden State Warriors.
You're right. Yeah.
That's
as
true.
A dynasty. But instead, they didn't want to pay him. He leaves. And now they trade Ibaka on the draft night to try to get better and try to tell KD, hey, listen, we got younger, we got these pieces.
That was a big move.
And now he leaves.
Yeah, it's unraveling. So that's the point here.
There's one, and then there was one.
That's all there is.
And next it might be, and then there's none.
Yeah, that'd be brutal. Next one going into it. If LeBron beats this Warriors team in the finals, swish or miss, does this make him a top guy? Is he a top five guy?
If he has
the game that he had in this past series against the Warriors, against this new team next year, and they beat them?
If he meets the Warriors, when that's what everyone thinks it's going to be, obviously we can't tell the future, but everyone's looking at Golden State Cleveland for a third straight year. For a third straight year. If LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers go up against a healthy Golden State, like both sides are healthy, and Cleveland wins, I think this cements LeBron into probably, I think, even like top three greatest ever.
Yeah,
Wow, that's huge coming from you.
I'd say LeBron's already
there. I call it how it is, okay?
Yeah, you're unbiased at this point.
No.
I'd say LeBron's already there. He's already a top five player all time, if not right in the conversation. I mean, obviously, if he were to go back-to-back in Cleveland with the team Golden State has, that would put him on another level.
Yeah.
He's a pretty special player, and I think that it's definitely possible that he could put that together with the team Cleveland has. And who's to say Cleveland doesn't make a couple moves to try to keep up with this KD signing? I mean,
yeah.
Cleveland's got assets. Well,
they
got to
re-sign
moves.
LeBron first.
That would be a big signing if they got him back again.
I have a feeling he's going to stay.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
We'll see.
And then they probably get
back
JR
to Miami.
Smith.
Fill that Dwayne Wade hole.
But they get then they probably re-sign JR, and we'll see how Kevin Love is. He played well for them during the season. So, and obviously, like we said, the East is almost like it's LeBron and then
the rest.
Everybody else trying to battle and meet him in the East Finals and
I think this is huge, too, just because of the other teams. Like, say, those Lakers. I mean, that three-peat was amazing. But, like, those teams that they beat was, like, it was just Iverson or it was just Jason Kidd. You know, those are teams weren't as stacked as this Warriors team would be against this Cavs team, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's what kind of puts LeBron over. It kind of gives the edge in some of these top guys and top names. And I think I agree with you. Like, he could be a top five guy now, but what Elias says, like, a top three, maybe 2-1. You know,
well,
like,
maybe LeBron wins the MVP next year.
I think he can grab his fifth MVP next year. He's definitely in the conversation, depending on the year I think Russell's going to have. My pick originally was Kawhi, but I think I'll make a final pick later on, coming closer to the NBA season, as we all will.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Who we think it is going to take it. But, I think that would cement his legacy and his greatness. And then I think he could leave Cleveland again if he chose
to.
Maybe. But I don't think they would hate him anymore, especially if he brought a second title.
No, it'll be okay. Now, here's my last question. This obviously would have been the biggest signing had it not be for KD. But Wade leaving the Heat to go to his hometown, Chicago Bulls, swish or miss. Is Wade making a mistake going to Chicago?
I mean, he's,
basketball-wise?
Yes, a basketball decision. Like, the Bulls are not going to win a title next year. They might not even make the playoffs.
With that backcourt? No. Rondo and Wade? No way. Who's shooting on this team? Doug McDermott?
Miritich likes to shoot.
I mean, like, he went to stick it to Pat Riley. You know, it was a business move.
What is that thing? So I heard that he doesn't even, like, Riley didn't even talk to him?
Riley didn't even call him during this whole free agency process.
What is Pat doing?
Telling him to take it. I think this is what, I wouldn't put it, maybe
he's rebuilding
past him.
That?
Yeah, like, I think maybe Pat Riley is like,
I like the Heat's core. I like their young players. I think
I just don't
got
like,
some
yeah, but I, think maybe I don't like Pat Whiteside and Bosch playing together. I just don't like that.
Yeah,
Justice
but Dragic, Justice Winslow, Josh
Richardson. They got lots of good young
they
players.
They just signed James Johnson, who'll be coming off the bench, play some defense.
They lost Dang, though.
They lost Dang. They did lose Dang, who was a nice vet for them.
Whiteside came out of nowhere, but like he didn't play well until Bosch got hurt. You know what I mean?
Well, he's going to lead the league probably in blocks again.
I don't know. Bosch Whiteside. Minutes, I don't know.
But Wade went to, you know, it was a business thing. This was definitely business. He wanted to, when he goes back to Miami, it's going to be like the whole video tribute, the whole cheering for him and applause. And maybe he comes back in a few years' time to probably retire.
Like a one-year deal, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a two-year deal, too, there in Chicago. And if LeBron signs another 1 year, maybe they go and they join forces somewhere else. And Chris Paul's a free agent next year. Hey. Just putting it out there. Those three guys have said that they like to play with each other.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, Wade, and LeBron. That's the next super team. Just pick a city.
Well, this one stung for me because it was right down to the wire. The Bulls or the Bucks? Where's he going to go? And I mean, obviously, D-Wade.
What about Denver? He didn't think Denver was a real contender.
Oh, hey. Cheech Jamal Murray had to do it. I like that, too. But, like, in Milwaukee, I mean, he played in Marquette. I was like, hey, this could really happen. And they've got a great young core. Obviously, Milwaukee's one of the up-and-coming teams. Like, D-Wade joins that team. They're a playoff team. There's no question. And to see him go to the Bulls, a team that has dumped everything that was good on their roster last year. I mean, you'll be playing with McBuckets and Bobby Portis next year. And while they're both, you know, pretty good young players, they're not, that's not the future of the NBA right there. So
no, Butler.
Whereas, you know, Jabari Parker, Chicago guy, if you want to have your Chicago roots in there, just play with Jabari Parker.
And Milwaukee's not that far from Chicago anyway.
That's what I'm saying. And he went to Marquette, which is in the state of Wisconsin. So let's shed a tear for my Milwaukee Bucks and Antetokounmpo, who's looking for somebody really good to give the ball.
I think you dodged a bullet with Wade, especially with that much money for his injuries in the past. Like, I think it was smart.
But I get to buy the jersey.
No, I know. But you don't Wade number 3 Bucks jersey. I think, honestly, I was hoping for Wade to go to Cleveland. Like, I don't take the cut and just be like a little like screw you, Pat. Like
I wouldn't want Wade to take the cut. I'd want LeBron to take the cut.
No, I just
how many times did D Wade take a cut for LeBron?
Yeah,
in
well,
Miami?
Wade was never the highest paid player in his career in
That's
Miami
the big
in the
one,
13
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
You know, he was never the highest paid. Then in 2010, when everyone joined, he took a pay cut to make Chris Bosh and LeBron the highest paid guys. And then after when LeBron left and Chris Bosh re-signed, he had a bigger deal than Wade. And I think this is what kind of maybe Pat Riley wants, like so he can go younger and try to set them up for the next couple of years heading down the line. And he didn't really want to pay Wade what Wade was asking for, which was probably like around $50 million. What did he get, like $47, $48 million in Chicago, so it was a money thing. He knows he's not going to a better basketball environment. This might not even be a playoff team. Jimmy Butler is going to have a great year again, probably be an all-star.
And another guy who can't shoot for Fred Hoiberg. Like, I can't figure
Fred
it out.
Fred Hoiberg's
yeah.
whole spacing system where it depends
it's just,
on shooting.
I just,
Wade
it's a
can't
good,
shoot. Rondo can't shoot.
It's a nightmare. It's honestly a nightmare in Chicago.
Yeah.
They're going to sell tickets.
That's, you know what? It's, I guess so, yeah. It's like half as bad as Moskov to the LA Lakers. Like I can't figure that
you
one out.
To
oh
say
my
that,
lord.
Well, we'll end it
every
on
week,
that note.
Every week we'll bring it up.
We'll end it on that note then.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, man, that was good. One thing last time I wanted to talk to you guys about is what are you guys most important? Or what do you guys want to see the most opening day or Christmas day in lineup? So what do you guys want
well,
to
Christmas,
see?
Obviously, it's going to be Warriors Cavs. That's going to be the headliner. Yeah. It's going to be five games, right? So at noon, it'll probably be like Chicago, Miami.
I want to see Chicago, New York. Knicks.
Ooh.
No, it's going to be Chicago, Miami at noon. That's my predictions.
Okay.
Chicago, Miami at noon on Christmas Day.
I just feel like the Noah
and
Rose
then,
versus the
Bulls. That was going to be opening night.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. I'll let you finish that.
Okay. So Christmas Day, you'll probably have like the Bulls Heat. You'll have maybe like maybe someone out of the West Coast. I don't know if they give it OKC
the
or
Mavericks
San Antonio.
And Spurs? Hey, that'd be
no.
fun.
In New York, the Knicks, because you're going to have them play. Then you'll have the 5 o'clock game, which will probably be like the Warriors. And
what about the Celtics and Hawks?
No, Celtics and Hawks, like Horford. I was thinking that, or you could go like Hawks and Houston, right? Because just with Dwight there. But or even how about Bismack going back to Toronto? What a return.
Yeah, that's going to be big. Huh? And obviously, I think you'll have
Stop
the Lakers
depressing.
Play. I think the Lakers play no matter what on Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Probably
at
10:30, they'll probably play the Clippers again.
You got to do OKC versus the Warriors as well, opening day maybe.
Maybe Cleveland with a big Mozgov return.
LA, that's going to be crazy. Or even Bucks and
this
Cleveland.
This is spiraling.
Hey, what about Barbosa going back to Golden State with Phoenix? What a return. I bet you he gets
all these returns, man.
return video.
I can't wait for the NBA to start up
the
again.
The Spates video for the Clippers.
That's it. Dun, 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 dun. We want to hear from you. What do you guys think? Bucket. We did get some mentions.
We got some love.
Of some of the games that people want to see on opening night and Christmas and stuff like that.
Yes.
And what they look like. What they think is going to happen. One comment was also Tim Duncan passing some of that knowledge if he stays on to Powell. Powell's already an intelligent player.
Yeah.
But also what else he can tell him. You know, Duncan, obviously a five-time NBA champ, multiple MVPs and stuff like that. So Gasol to the Spurs was also big. We didn't really talk about that. But
and not know, to the
it's
Raptors.
Almost, it's, yeah it would have been better. It would have been better if he went to Toronto.
Agreed.
But he went to San Antonio where he'll probably most likely end his career, Paul Gasol. And maybe give the Golden State a run for their money if they slow down and can play at their pace, the Spurs, you know, with Gasol and LaMarcus, Kawhi, who's a great defender.
Like you
Tony
said,
Parker.
If Kawhi
Tony
steps
Parker
into
killed
that MVP,
Canada today, man. Like,
if Kawhi steps into that MVP level, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, and
anything
also,
is
guys,
possible.
Remember, you can get all of us by email at the3nikki@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at 3nikki. Follow on Twitter at basketball. On Instagram at The3NKI, you can listen to each episode on iTunes, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher Radio. And you can get all of that information and more on our website, 3inthekey.ca. For Will Macklin and Dave Tripp, I'm Elias Elzane. Peace.
Give it up.
Anything's possible.